Blog Talk Radio.
Now, well, the end.
And his family. It sounds like they have a real singer in the making. There's something about a small child singing that is, I don't know, it's just awesome to me. Well, this week's show is The Birth of Jesus, Fact or Fiction. Welcome to another show on how we look at Christmas here at your place. We want to remind each of you that next week we're not going to air a show on Christmas Eve. We hope that you take the time to enjoy your family and reflect on Jesus. We have provided a lot of information tonight to help you gain a better perspective than maybe you have ever had before. The goal is that you can find Jesus in a personal relationship of your own. And now let's have a listen.
Well, hello, Starla. Thank you for getting our show kicked off, and hello to everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. As we have shared with you the last few weeks, we've been taking a look at Christmas, the birth of Jesus, and it dawned on me while I was doing my Sunday school class yesterday that a lot of things in God's Word we have to take on faith. And a lot of people really want to throw stones at Christianity or people that have faith or go to church or, you know, follow certain denominations because they're like, it's all on this faith thing. It's just real simple to sit there and just want to follow after this dogmatic ritual of what you call Christianity based on faith when there's really nothing there to build this on. And I was thinking, you know, faith, okay. How many times have you went to a light switch and flipped it on, and you did not expect a light to come on? And you say, well, you know, I've had past practice in it. I've went and I've flipped a light switch, and the light's come on. Oh, really? Well, how many times have you driven down the road, and you've had faith that the other people are going to stay on their side of the road and, you know, not run over you? You don't think anything about it. You're all just locked in on getting where you want to go. And, again, you can come back and say, well, you know what, yeah, I've had experience in that. I've seen that. But have you not ever seen a news report that's shown where people were intoxicated on alcohol or drugs and they didn't do what they were supposed to do and a family was killed within a block of their home or something like that? Or maybe there was a mechanical failure of some part or something like that and someone died or was killed or maimed or, you know, was just in a hospital for a long time, you know, before they was able to recover. See, faith is one of those things that, you know, but the Bible lets us know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you can hope and have faith in electricity, you can have faith on the highway system, the laws that are put in place for highway safety and that your fellow man, that they're going to do what they're going to do, how much harder is it to believe and have faith on the creator of this world? The fact that he wants to have a relationship with mankind, the fact that there is historical data to prove many of the things that are established in the Word of God to be true. The fact that people that have tried to turn from things that have destroyed their life, like drugs, alcohol, addictions of any kind, where they maybe had some mental problems from abuse as a child, or maybe it's because of things that were beyond their control that was in their environment around them. And yet they come to a church, they come to an altar, they pray to a God that they cannot see. There's a life-changing experience that takes place. You see these people that are baptized in Jesus' name and filled with God's Spirit. You can actually see a manifestation of this through the evidence of speaking in tongues as God gives the utterance, as it speaks of in the book of Acts when the New Testament church was formed, a new covenant relationship that we have right now. You can witness these things happening today. So is it not the same thing as having faith to flip a light switch and expect it to come on? It's just some things to think about. This show we have today is one where I've got some clips for you. If you don't like those kind of shows, I apologize. That's what we have for you today. As you can guess, we have a couple of songs for you. Songs and music really speaks to me. And for those other people that are like me, that's why we put those things in there. And I hope that it encourages you. As we look at the birth of Jesus, I wanted to lay out some foundation today for those of you who are not sure if you want to believe in this, if you think that we're just a weak-minded people to follow after these things. I put some things together today that I hope that encourages you, gives you some new direction, some hope to look at these things, because without faith, the Bible makes it very clear that we cannot please God. You know, there's some people that said, and some great people that have some concepts of what they said about the word faith. Mother Teresa said, be faithful in small things because it is in them that your strength lies. Albert Einstein, who many people say was one of the smartest people who had ever lived, says that deep emotional conviction of the presence of a superior reasoning power, which is revealed in the incomprehensible universe, forms my idea of God. Joel Osteen, many people have heard of him. He said, faith activates God. Fear activates the enemy. Mahatma Gandhi, if patience is worth anything, it must endure to the end of time, and a living faith will last in the midst of the blackest storm. And then all of us have heard of Helen Keller, the young lady who was born blind. Faith is the strength by which a shattered world shall emerge into the light. Wow. Voltar. Faith consists in believing when it is beyond the power of reason to believe. Ronald Reagan. We are never defeated unless we give up on God. Emmanuel Tinney. As your faith is strengthened, you will find that there is no longer the need to have a sense of control, that things will flow as they will, and that you will flow with them to your great delight and benefit. And this is one of my favorites right here. C.S. Lewis, when talking about faith, he said, I gave in and admitted that God was God. And Friedrich Nietzsche, faith, his definition is not wanting to know what is true. So as you try to establish your faith on what you believe about Jesus, the Christmas season, the birth as it is, so we talk about the birth of Jesus from a virgin birth, I ask that you listen to these clips today and hope that you hear something that will encourage you.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder lay a new and glorious morn.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Imagine you are given a goose that lays golden eggs. Scrap that. A magical guitar. No, an enchanted Hummer. And you are told that if you drive that enchanted Hummer, you will be more attracted to girls and you will be able to rocket to the moon. Now you can believe and believe and believe in that enchanted Hummer and that it will bring you the chicks and the lunar experience. But if it doesn't deliver, then it must not be true.
Must not be true.
It doesn't matter how much you believe it. If it proves to be false, it is false, right?
Right.
But what about the flip side? If something can be proven absolutely true to actually accomplish the amazing things it says it will do, then it must be real.
Must be real.
Whether you believe it or not.
I guess so.
You guess so?
Absolutely.
Let's say, for instance, Jesus Christ is the Son of the one true God, the only way to God.
I don't believe that.
But have you weighed all the evidence?
Evidence? Who needs evidence? All I need is to believe in what I believe.
But believing doesn't make what you believe true. And if it's not true, what you believe can't be real.
Can't be real!
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah!
It's all a part of the evidence.
How do you know what's true is really true?
That's where the evidence comes in. Christ's offer to turn you into a new person is real if his claim to be God is true. So let's consider the evidence of 8 prophecies proving his claim is true. Do you know what the probability factor is of only 8 prophecies being fulfilled in Jesus?
No.
A 1 in 10 to the 17th power.
1 in 10 to the 17th power.
Huh?
That's 1 in 10 to this many times.
I don't get it.
If you were to take 10 to the 17th power Girl Scout Thin Mint cookies...
How many?
That's over a quintillion cookies. And spread them across the state of Texas...
Yeehaw!
They would cover every inch of the state and form a pile of Girl Scout Thin Mint cookies 2 feet deep.
That's a lot of Thin Mints.
A whole lot of Thin Mints.
Now take one more Thin Mint and lick all the chocolate off, toss it into that pile, and stir the whole thing up. Blindfold yourself, walk the entire state from Amarillo to Laredo, stopping just once to stoop down and pick a single blind Thin Mint cookie.
Got it.
Take off the blindfold.
Aw, nuts.
The chances of you picking the chocolateless cookie is the same as the chance that one person could have fulfilled just 8 prophecies about Jesus in one lifetime.
That's crazy.
It's unthinkable. But Jesus Christ did not fulfill 8 prophecies in one lifetime.
Whoa.
He fulfilled over 300.
300 now!
Whoa.
And 29 of them in just one day. The prophecies are historically documented. The facts that actually happened to Jesus are historically documented. There's only one thing left to do.
I know. For me to weigh the evidence.
It's all part of the evidence.
Because if it is true that he is the Son of God, what he offers you, a new life in him, is real.
Now I know it's real, whether I believed it or not.
It's all part of the evidence.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is real.
Every Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. 1,000 years before that, Jewish prophets foretold the birth of the Messiah. Gordon takes a look at one archaeological discovery and how it changed the course of history.
The birth of a baby, a small event that became the turning point in world history. 2,000 years ago, the Messiah arrived on earth, and only a few people saw the sign.
The only people who see the sign in the stars of the night are the people who are looking for it.
The ones who saw the sign were the wise men from the east. Their search for the King of the Jews brought them to the palace of Herod the Great.
The irony is, of course, that they have seen a star that they associate with the rising of a king over Jacob.
So who exactly were the wise men who called on King Herod, and why did they seem to know Jewish prophecy better than the Jews? Well, the answer may lie in a 3,000-year-old inscription discovered in Jordan. In 1967, archaeologists found the remains of an ancient temple in a village called Deir Allah.
On the wall of the temple was an inscription about Balaam the prophet, the same character that we know from the book of Numbers.
Balaam, the son of Beor, visited by an angel and scolded by a donkey. A freelance prophet hired to curse the nation of Israel, but instead, he prophesied the coming of the Jewish Messiah, the Star of Jacob. Only small fragments of the Balaam inscription have survived. It's written in Aramaic, and it talks about fire, terror, and judgment on the land of Canaan, from a deity named Shaddai, one of the Hebrew names for God in the Bible. Balaam's prophecy in the book of Numbers describes a similar judgment on the Canaanites, delivered by the Star of Jacob, the Jewish Messiah.
Totally different context altogether, an archaeological context, with a story about him that is not the biblical story, but it shows us that his reputation as a professional foreteller, prophet, existed throughout the eastern side of the Jordan, what we would call the Transjordan.
Balaam is one of the few Old Testament prophets with archaeological proof of his existence.
I think it's just exciting. It lends plausibility in one sense to Matthew's story because the people who are familiar with Balaam's prophecies are people who are coming from that side of the Jordan River.
Balaam's prophecy led the wise men to look for a star, and the star led them first to Jerusalem. This is the Tower of David, the spot where Herod's palace once stood, a place historians called wondrous beyond words. It was here that Herod summoned the wise men to a secret meeting.
The humor in the text is that they come to the king of the Jews, Herod, who does not know his own scriptures and has to ask his counselors and his advisors to go search the Jewish scriptures so that he can find out which prophecy they're talking about, while they who are Gentiles and foreigners know the prophecy of Balaam.
Herod's men found a 700-year-old clue from the prophet Micah, a scripture that led the wise men to the birthplace of the Messiah. They went to Bethlehem and found Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts that were described by the prophets hundreds of years earlier. But while they worshiped Jesus, Herod planned to kill him.
Nowadays, if we were to meet Herod the Great, we would consider that he probably suffered from severe paranoia and needed medical treatment and a good psychiatrist.
The wise men only fueled his paranoia. They were known as the kingmakers of the East, and now they were in Herod's palace, looking for the one who had been born king of the Jews. Herod saw their visit as a threat.
This is just who Herod is. He's a convert with no actual Jewish blood, who is always fearful, doesn't trust anyone, loved his wife so much he killed her, loved her to death, I say.
Herod ordered a massacre in Bethlehem. Every male under the age of 2 was killed, an event that was prophesied by Jeremiah more than 600 years before it happened. Joseph and Mary fled to Egypt, a journey predicted by the prophet Hosea and fulfilled in the Gospel of Matthew.
Hosea 11:1 says, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Some of the rabbis say Matthew misquoted Hosea 11 terribly. Nonsense. What was his point? His assumption was that his audience would know the whole verse. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." In other words, just as it happened to Israel, so it happened to the Messiah. You have this pattern over and over in the scriptures.
Nowhere is the promise of the Messiah more powerful than in the book of Isaiah. He spoke of a child born of a virgin, a son called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The words of Isaiah were copied by scribes, hidden in caves, and protected for more than 2,000 years. When the Dead Sea Scrolls were rediscovered, the book of Isaiah was found completely intact.
I would say the one scroll that has had more impact upon the world than any other scroll that was found here is the Great Isaiah Scroll.
This is the oldest known copy of the book of Isaiah, and it's the only one we have today that existed before the birth of Christ.
There we have a scroll from around 100 B.C. that is nearly as well preserved as it was in the days it was being read. Otherwise, the next copies of the book of Isaiah come from 1,000 years later. With this, we are going to be able to say, now and for all time, that we have the text that existed from 2,000 years ago.
From the desert caves near the Dead Sea to the ruins of an ancient temple in Jordan, the story of the Messiah was etched in stone and written on parchment hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And now the Gentiles can say to Zion, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you."
As you listen to this next song, you know, the Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. We're given great authority to do great miracles and great things with the name of Jesus. we have his name applied to our lives when we follow the plan of salvation that was outlined in the book of Acts chapter 2. We're in verse 38 and 39. And you can read these for yourself. It was, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and unto your children, and unto those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So as you listen to this song right here, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what your circumstance, I pray that this song speaks to you in a way that it does me, to let us know that Jesus didn't just come as a baby to be born, to live on this life about 32 years, and then to die a horrible death on the cross, to pay the price for our salvation, to rise again with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he's gave us a promise that we could believe on him, that where he went, he's went to prepare a place, that where he is, we can be also. And he told us that if it wasn't true, he would have told us. He wanted it to be real clear. And so as you go through God's word and you try to understand who God is, I pray that you listen to this song, and as you think of Christmas, and even though this is not a Christmas song, that it speaks to you as it speaks to me.
sorry for the sound quality of that last song. But this has been a good show. We sure enjoyed the music from Keith Franklin and his family, and I, especially the children. We have Blog Talk Mom with us. Blog Talk Mom, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am wonderful. My tree is up.
All right. You did it without me.
I know. I still have gifts, though, so you can wrap those if you'd like. There's lots.
I like doing that. I guess because I worked in retail stores all my life. But we won't get to see each other this Christmas, but possibly the first of the year I'll get to bring the RV up. It was a great program. I appreciate you and Wild Bill more every day. The effort that you put into it, the doc, it was, you know, put together in a different format, but the prophecies that were fulfilled, the Dead Sea Scrolls, bringing Isaiah current, the book of Isaiah, it's just, these are miraculous things. They cannot be coincidence. They are, I just think it's so amazing, the grace of God, that he lets us find these things. He works with us so, because he wants us to believe, and he knows the power that we'll have over all of the things that come against us if we'll just believe and have faith, as Wild Bill said, and as you brought out at the first. Faith is believing that God loves us and he's on our side, and that he's, this week I just had a particular ailment. You were familiar with it. You'd been praying for me, which I greatly appreciate. And I was seeking the Lord as to what maybe had brought it on, you know, what were my thoughts, and immediately the Lord began to reveal to me a situation in my life that is not that different than everyone that's born. King David said, I was born in sin, and I was shaping an iniquity. And to me, what he meant, Sister Stala, is that what formed us to be whatever we are at this very moment, from the time that we were in our mother's womb, was not good. You know, in sin did my mother conceive me. There, sin is missing the mark. It's evil. It's hard. It breaks. It destroys. It's a weapon of the enemy to kill God's beloved. And when I began to see that through the eyes of the Holy Ghost, through the Lord didn't tell me that that wasn't true, that those things were not true. He didn't tell me, oh, well, you know, you're a good girl. Let me pat you on the head and tell you everything's all right. What he did show me is that I am a miracle, because Jesus was born and went to that cross and came out of that tomb victorious. I'm a miracle. To be what I was, and then to be born again and to be healed and set free from the powers that would just choke everyone, you know, everyone around us. And it seems to me like this year the church has taken on a burden to pray, and I see more of a good spirit, or, you know, just people seem like they're not in stores, there's not a dog-eat-dog, you know, sort of thing that I've seen in years past. Is that the people that are working in the retail store seem to have an uplift to their attitude. So I believe God has heard the prayers of so many prayer meetings scattered all over that have been praying for, especially this generation, to have hope that can only be in Jesus Christ. And then this glorious story about how God would robe himself in flesh and come to this earth and take our sin and bear our sorrow. All of everything was on him so that we could have peace, healing, joy, contentment. And I'm going to take it, aren't you? That's our gift.
Amen.
And I appreciate your prayers, because I am feeling so much better now.
Well, praise God. That is an awesome report.
Even my doctor said he was greatly encouraged. That was his word. Greatly encouraged. That's good.
Well, that was.
Hope y'all have fun. Are y'all going to have a lot of food?
Well, we're going to do things a little bit different. I think we're going to do appetizers. So Mom's not in the kitchen the whole time that we have the kids here. So.
Yeah.
Anyway,
good.
We have Wild Bill with us. Hi, Wild Bill. How are you?
Trucking on down the road across the backwoods of Ohio, looking at all the snow they got on the ground up here. It's sorry that song didn't play very well. When it got a lot of background clapping and things, I try to mute it down so it can be turned up on the board and hope that that will come through. But if you'd heard that all the way through, it's a live service in a stadium. And part of the words is that Jesus is working for us. Jesus is on our side. And we get to thinking about this God wanting to put his thumb on the back of our neck and, you know, put some unrealistic expectations and things into our life. But when you understand that he is working for us, the power that he's given us, you know, he took the keys over death, hell, and the grave so that we don't have to have fear of death. We don't have to have fear of hell or the grave. Those are things that he gave us, something that you cannot put value on, a way of escape, a place where we can go and be with him. You know, Starla and I were in Georgia at the Georgia Dome one time, and I don't remember how many people were there, and the first president, George Bush, was there, and he got a standing ovation for like 45 minutes, and they started doing the wave, and I've always wondered how in the world, you know, when it's your time to stand up. I always pictured myself being the one guy on the wrong side of the stadium standing up when they do that. But you can actually feel the wind going before the people that are standing up, waving their arms and sitting down. And I got to thinking, you know, how much more is there going to be in the presence of the Almighty God? Is it by chance that on the day of Pentecost that there was a sound as of a mighty rushing wind that entered in to the place where they were? You know, is it just something to let them know that the presence of God was there? You know, I don't believe it was just some freak windstorm that came in. And he'll do that in everything in our life if we let him do it. He wants to be our help in time of need. That friend is sticking closer than a brother. The one who is touched by our infirmity. The one who bore stripes on his back for our healing. He took the horrible beating that went with there for us, not for himself. It was all for us. He could have called 10,000 angels. He probably didn't need but 5 or 6, but puny mankind. But just knowing he could have called 10,000 angels. I shared with some people how that when I held my new grandson, I'm scared to death to hold little kids like that. I'm afraid I'm going to break them. And then, but in holding him, I knew deep down that there was not a force in that room that could have caused me to drop him. Nothing there. And to see the Spirit of God that was watching over the flesh, that was Jesus, that he sent angels to lay charge over him, to protect him. And to know that he submitted himself to the cross. There was nothing, no force, no power on this earth that could have forced him to go to that cross if he didn't want to go. That whole thing, when we look at disease and we look at things that have to do with age, and I remember Sister Nona Freeman talking about that, you know, speaking things about, well, I'm just getting old-timers and things, and she wouldn't have no part of that. You know, she blessed her mind daily. You know, she used the authority that God had given her. And as far as I know, that woman was a sound mind up until the time that she passed away. But to know that God's given us things, and I wonder sometimes if we really understand and use all the things that he's given us. Because in that song, they actually stopped and started talking and was talking about this hateful disease that's cancer. And they talked about other diseases. They talked about how you can go to a doctor, and a doctor can pretty much prophesy over you and say, hey, your time is short. You're going to die. But I've seen it time and time again through the authority and the power and the application of faith through the name of Jesus, where cancers have been gone, where diseases, where doctors said there's no hope, God put hope. Where you see a life that you think is not worth anything, and God puts value on it. To understand that there's a whole lot more than just giving presents and family and a baby, and there's something so precious with a baby. Hearing those children sing, it don't matter how heavy things are on your mind. I had to get a smile on my face going down the road, and I got some things that are troubling me right now. And it changed perspective, and you understand that acceptance comes as a little child. When you stop and think about it, to understand Jesus is the reason for the season, whether we like it or not. We're not talking about the actual celebration of Christmas, but we're talking about the acknowledgement that Jesus wrote himself in flesh. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus bodily. To take stock of that, to know that there's archaeological evidence, there's historical evidence. These things were written hundreds, if not a few thousand years or a thousand years before. I've read different things from 600 to 1,100 years, depending on which, you know, theologian that you want to listen to as to how he went back and tracked down the timeline. I am not one of those people. But I can tell you, out of all these things, the most important is this, like if you were walking down the street and made eye contact with someone and someone stopped and said, hey, I'm Bill, how are you doing today? Jesus is reaching out his hand to each and every person on this world and saying, hi, I'm Jesus Christ. I came for you, not the people around you, not the people from your past, not the people from your future. I came for you as an individual. I know you by name. I know every hair on your head. When you stop and think about that, how many of you, when someone introduces you, like, are you not going to introduce yourself back? And so this year, when you think about Jesus reaching out to you, take time to introduce yourself back to him. Lay your troubles upon him. Give him your burden. Give him your sorrow. Give him your pain. Give him your confusion. Just see what you're going to get in return. So, sorry, I didn't mean going quite so long there, but Blog Talk Mom, I just want to say you're really an inspiration. I appreciate you being on this show so much.
I appreciate being on the program, and it's a highlight of every week, and it's Joy Bells. Went out last night, and she said, but I'll be back in time for the program. Monday night, she already had it on her mind, and I've done that too, thinking it was Tuesday, but we really enjoy it, and we look forward to it. I heard a cute little situation today. I was out, and a lady was telling about her little grandson giving his heart to God, and this past week, I guess it was, the preacher made the altar call, and he got up right away, this young boy did, and went up to the altar, and the preacher said, would you like to have Jesus in your heart? And he said, I've already got him in my heart. And the preacher looked a little bit confused. He said, well, when? He said, three rows back. You know, before he ever got up to come up there, God had already, you know, spoke to his heart. And that's what he described to the preacher, that a warmth of, he didn't understand it, but it was obviously the presence of God swept over him and moved in his heart. But wasn't that, and little children just have such a unique way of their relationship, like you were saying, when God speaks to us, you know, answer, well, they answer, you know, if we could be like them, just respond to that drawing and that wooing, and he didn't understand everything. This young boy didn't, But he knew that it was God without knowing all of the entire, you know, what the seven thunders uttered and all that kind of stuff. He knew God had spoken to his heart, and he knew to respond to it. And I just thought that was so inspiring. And like what you just said, if everybody just responds to a God that loves us and is on our side. And, you know, you lose sight of that sometimes just going through life, that God is really that intimately involved in every thought and detail of our life. And I do love him, and I love y'all, and I love this time of the year has been a source of maybe confusion because I've gone to churches that were very strong about not becoming part of the pagan involvement in the holiday, and I understand that. I had a man tonight was very kind, but he was bringing out that viewpoint. And, you know, there's different viewpoints and different convictions, actually different convictions, but like you brought out tonight, the scriptures are there. The prophecy is there. He did come, and it was a miracle, just like it was prophesied that he would come. That's so exciting to me. It's just, I mean, not eight prophecies, but 300, just all in that one day. That is amazing. He is amazing. Just a new song. It's probably not new to everybody else. I think it's Phil Wickham, and he sings "This Is Amazing Grace," and I've really enjoyed it this week. It is amazing grace, and thank you again.
Well, thank you so much for the part you play in all this, and it still seems so strange. It's not, in one sense, not long ago, and I'm awful with dates sometimes, but we've been on the air for, I guess, 4 or 5 years now, because Joy Bell called me up and told me about this new thing called Blog Talk Radio, and so we took off with it. But, you know, it's this is the first year probably ever that I have a piece in looking at Christmas as the holiday where I get paid to be off work and as the traditional things of the world, because like you, I understand that, you know, there's the paganistic history of the holiday and how it was formed into being a time to acknowledge the birth of Christ. But that doesn't change the fact, like you said, that he was born. And the miracle that took place in that process of physical manifestation of God, that you, who would have thought that he would have came really and literally as a baby and walked and talked on this world and performed miracles and did all the things and showed us a more perfect way to live and explained the law in details as to when to be something like what we're talking about here with this paganism thing. You know, we can put up walls and beat people about things to where it is impossible and it takes away the joy of living for God if we're just not careful in what we're doing. I understand that the fivefold ministry is for reproach, that is for enlightenment, is to help us to grow into areas that are maybe not be comfortable for us. But on the other side of that, you know, sometimes as Christians, we have to be careful not to want to put personal convictions on other people. We have to let people, as Joy Bell says, go through their process. And in that, God does the work, as we said before. You can't help a baby chicken out of its egg. If you do, it'll die. And I think sometimes our heart's in the right place for wanting to help people. But at least this time, this year, and I think it's just so real to me because of being here and seeing Tucker at the hospital, just to understand just how fragile a baby is. Innocent, how they smell. It's just, it's something with a child of that age that it brings you back to things in your past when it was your child. And, well, you know, I mean, Mom, you got children and everything. And in some ways, that was a landmark day in your life of having a child. Now, what follows after that as they grow up, is probably not near as good landmarks, but there's a lot of landmarks there too. But that special thing of having that baby, I don't know, it just, this year it speaks to me to understand, to acknowledge it for what it is, follow God in my relationship with Him, and let the other stuff fall where it will.
That's the only way to do it, because any other way, because we don't know the past or the process that's ahead in anybody, and so we have to put it in the hands of the Lord. The one of the things you had mentioned about the different convictions, and when Paul preached to the church at Philippi, and it's Philippians 1:18, and he's talking about the different churches. He says some they preach Christ of contention, not sincerely. Others, they even want to add affliction to my bonds, and some preach love, and some defend the gospel, and then he says, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. And when I see that all of the things that are just really Christ, you know, they're about the birth. You can't look at anything around Christmas that has anything to do with Jesus without immediately thinking of the entire incarnation. You may not know it in depth, but I've tried to encourage everyone to not get into contention over any terminologies, but let it be a springboard to talk about the wonderful, the whole world, history, everything. It's pivotal upon the birth of Jesus Christ, when God stepped into this life, into a body, when God did that so that we who had been sold in sin all the way from the Garden of Eden could be brand new, not made over, not busted up, and you know, we're brand new. We're brand new creatures in Christ. And then he says, I'm going to be right with you all the way to the end and make sure you make it all the way for eternity. Oh, I'm just, I love this program, Wild Bill. There is an anointing on it. It always does something great for me, and I thank you for it, you and Sister Starler.
One other thing that really jumped out, especially when we were actually in the scripture read, was the heavenly host gave praise and honor. You know, glory to God on the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. To stop and think about what those words mean. You know, the angelic host, they have a lot of power. There's a lot of things that they could do. But they give honor to that. And to realize that every time that there is a new convert that prays through and is converted into being part of God's kingdom, the angels rejoice. They understand better than we do what it is, this new birth experience. There was a new birth of God being formed in flesh, and they see something I think that we don't see, and God in that every time that someone comes and they find way to an altar and they start that first step of repentance and turning their life over to God. The angels rejoice. Whew, the angels rejoice. It would almost make you want to run out right now and go find someone and witness to them and share them about this is the time of year that we honor and remember and think about Jesus coming to this world, you know, as a baby. God, Emmanuel, God with us. He did this for you. And let me show you the good news, and then hopefully be able to help give birth through that person spiritually, and then just kind of listen for the angels rejoicing. I don't know. I may have kind of flipped my screw here, but I tell you, if there ever was a time for the church to do their part, I really, really believe it's now. So.
Amen.
Sorry there, Starla. It's running all over the top of you. I know you probably have some things on this, too.
Oh, I'm just enjoying listening. I mean, I think you guys are awesome.
Oh, you're awesome. Sweet.
We didn't say it earlier, but if you all have any questions or comments, just push one on your phone, and we'll identify you by the last four digits of your phone number. So don't be afraid. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, well,
Bill. Nobody pushing one?
Nobody's pushing one.
Yeah, I noticed last week we're still averaging a little over 2,000 listens. Each and every week, and I want to thank all of you who take your time to listen to our show and to make it the success it is. As I said when we first started this, that if it only reached one person, that it was worth doing. And I'm not going to lie, there's been times that the time restraints of my schedule has made it to where it's not a lot of joy to put it together, but as long as everything works right in Blog Talk Radio, I'm always so happy, you know, once it's all put together and each show is done. But since we're not going to have a show next week, I thought it would probably be good to end in prayer. And so whoever you are, wherever you are at, God sees you, he knows you, he loves you. And if you would, if you'd just join with us in prayer. God, we are so thankful, Lord, for not just the price you paid for our salvation, but for the process and the prophecy that we can see that was fulfilled through you coming to earth, being Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, Father, for this love that you had that you did this for us. Lord, we know that during this time of the year that there's a lot of emotion in people's lives. There's people that think of suicide. There are people that their job situations are not so good. They're trying to figure out how to keep up with buying gifts for family members for things that they need. And, Lord, we just right now we pray, Lord, for peace to go forth. You said where any two or three come together in your name asking anything and it shall be done. And, Lord, truly for those that are listening or attached to this show in any way, Lord, we pray that you bind these spirits to come against people of this world. Lord, that where Satan wants to destroy during this time of the year, let there be peace. Lord, send someone to these people to share the good news that you came, that you loved them, that you died, that you prepared a way of escape for them. We want to thank you this day, Lord, for what you've done in each of our lives and for each of the people that listen. We thank you, Lord, for our listeners. We pray that you put a hedge of protection around them, Lord, as they seek to live for you, the Lord, that you lead them into all the fullness of the truth of your word. Lord, for I've realized in my life that I have not arrived. Lord, that I'm still seeking and growing and processing in my relationship with you. And I pray that you keep me and my family, Lord, steadfast. Lord, and for my friends, I thank you for my friend Keith for sharing those songs with me, Lord. It meant so much to be able to have his children singing on our show. Lord, I pray that you bless his family this night. Lord, we know that you're coming soon. The words of the Bible let us know the things to watch for. Lord, give us a hunger and thirst for your righteousness and holiness as we've never had before. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Did anybody else have anything else before you sign us off the air, Charlotte?
Well, we got some listeners, but I'm guessing they're shy. But
shy. All right. Well, we'll be back. Well, we won't be back next week. So if you want to listen to an archive show, we'd like to invite you to do that. You can just go to the www.blogtalkradio.com/your-place, and you can scroll down through there. You can listen to this show again. You can download it to your smart device, your computer, whatever. And we just want to thank you so much again for being part of this show. And we'll be back the week after next. Or is that is it 2 weeks in a row there, Starla? We're not going to be there.
Yes, we're not going to be here New Year's Eve either. Our church is having a night watch service, and I've never gotten to go to one of those, and we're going to go this year.
We will not be on the air for Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve this year, but we will be back after that. So God bless each and every one of you. You have a good night.
Good night.
And Merry Christmas.